Well, good evening. We are thankful to be here. My name is Kevin Fusilier, and I am the pastor in the Tulsa, Oklahoma congregation. And it's nice to be with God's people here in Billings, Missouri. We are thankful that the Lord blessed us with safety here. It was a beautiful day for a drive. So glad I didn't have to drive yesterday in all that wind. We're thankful to be here, and I was thinking about the song that was just shared. That's the thing about salvation. It brings satisfaction.
Yes.
We can be satisfied because we can look around at the world, and the people in the world, they are not satisfied. They're looking for something, and they try this thing, and they try that thing, and they're just kind of wandering around, and I was thinking, I know something that will satisfy you.
Yes.
I know something that will satisfy you, and that is Jesus. Yes. Himself will satisfy us. So this evening, the thought that the Lord put on my heart is about God watching over us. And I was thinking about the song, For His Eye is on the Sparrow, and I know He watches me. And so that would be the subject or the title, is He Watches Me. He watches over us. And when I was thinking about this this thought, I was thinking about how one of the benefits of salvation is we don't have to experience this life the way people who are not saved experience. We have, someone has our back, for lack of a better term, is I have someone who's supporting me. I have someone who's watching out, someone who's watching over me. And I'm not on this journey by myself. The brother mentioned that the young lady from Kenya was having feelings of loneliness. Yes. I've been doing some reading and have heard a few different things. And they said, at a time when we have so many ways to connect, there's still so much loneliness with people. And with that loneliness, there's separation and depression and different things come in. But I was thinking, with the Lord, we don't have to experience things that same way. We have someone watching over us. And so, if you would turn with me, the first scripture that I have is Psalm 42 and 11. And I want to encourage you this evening, as we look into these scriptures, that you think about it. I don't know where you are in life, but if you're in a place where you're experiencing some loneliness, or maybe you feel cast down or forgotten, or maybe you feel an anxiety or pressure or stress, I want you to know that God knows about that. You're not forgotten. He's looking out over you. And in Psalm 42 and 11, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And I was thinking about it. We feel pressure. We feel stress. But we don't have to get to a point to where we are cast down with it. We don't have to get to a point to where we're disquieted and my spirit is upset and I'm not settled down and I'm having anger and all these other things. It's, no, we have a hope. And I know as a father, as a husband, now as a pastor, when I talk to people, I can tell that people, they don't have a hope. They kind of see their situation as terminal. Yeah. And I wish they could see it as eternal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of terminal. I just have to live out these days and have all, but no, we can have a bright, eternal hope. And as we go through things, there is a brighter day that we can have this hope. So as I share these scriptures with you, I want you to be encouraged and know, no matter what you're going through personally, whether you're 7, 8, 13, 16, 46, 66, 76, whatever you're going through, God is watching out over us. I want you to turn with me to Luke 12, and I'm going to read the 6th and the 7th verse. Luke 12, verse 6 and 7. And this is Jesus, and he's talking to the people, and he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And I was thinking about God and his divine presence. He knows everything that's going on in nature. He knows all the things that are going on. And a bird can't fall on the ground without God knowing about it. And here he's telling them that you can buy these 2 little birds for just a small, significant amount. And God cares about those birds. And then he says, "Are you not worth more? Are you not worth... Ye are more valued than many sparrows." Yes. And I was thinking about how God loves us. And he loves us so much that you're important to God. And I think that's another thing that people in life are looking to be relevant to other people. They're looking to be important to someone. And I know as a father, when I was raising my children, when they were probably 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you come home, you're the king of the world, and they run and they grab daddy's leg, and you feel, that makes you feel good as a father. And then they turn 13, 14, 15, 17, you come in the room, they're like, "Hey, Dad, it's not the same." And you're like, or I'll ask my wife, "Have you talked to the kids this week?" And I'm thinking, well, they didn't call Dad. I'm thinking, I want to still be relevant. I still want to be king of the world, of their world, right? But you know what? Even if they don't call as often as I would like to, if they don't run and grab my leg, you know what? God loves me, and I'm relevant and significant to God. Yes. He's our creator. He loves us, and he cares about our well-being. This evening, I was talking to Brother Michael and Sister Renee, and I think Brother Michael was just in the room, and I said, I really believe that Jesus would have died on the cross to save one soul. Yeah. And I was thinking about that. That's how much he loves you. If he would have died if you were the only one that were going to be redeemed. But look, his blood covers all of us. And we're important to him. So I want you to think about how important you are to God. The song, I took a little portion from the song. It says, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion." Yes. And I was thinking about the song, the special song that was saying about looking for something that you long for, that you panted for, and then you found, it says, you found something that would satisfy you, that water, that refreshing. And it says, "Jesus is my portion. My constant friend is he." And I found that in my life, I've had many friends come and go in my life. They kind of come in and go. I've had some enduring friends, but you know what? There's a friend, Jesus Christ, that's been there all along. And I can think back even when I was a small child and the Lord would visit me and talk to me about something and correct me. And as I got older, I start to understand that he loves us and he cares about me. And he's my friend and he's watching out for me. I was a person that I used to think the rules that my parents gave me were to restrict me. But as I got older, I learned that those rules were to keep me safe. And then when I looked at the commandments, I used to think the commandments were there to restrict me. But then as I looked at them, I found that these commandments are here to protect me. And I was thinking, well, thank you, God, for loving me enough to give me some guidance on ways to live my life. And then Jesus himself, because he loved us so much, he came out of glory, yes, walked. Okay, he was born as a baby, which means somebody had to care for him. Right. He walked, he experienced pain, betrayal, all these things. because he loved us. And since he did all that, know that he's not going to forget about you. He's not going to forget about you. God has been looking out for us since the very beginning. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 16, and I'm going to start at verse 9. 2 Chronicles 2 Chronicles 16, I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And I'll just stop there. When I was preparing and I read that verse and I was thinking about, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." That means he can be here looking out over us. He can be in Neosho. He can be in Kenya. He can be in Tulsa. He can be all over. His eyes are going and he knows. And the thing about it, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect." And I think about the promises of God. Many of them come with conditions. And this condition is that our heart is perfect toward God. He's looking out for us. He's looking out over us. And it's not just a casual, "Did you see?" But his eyes are going to and fro. And I think about the Lord in my mind, just thinks about in analogies. And I was thinking about when you have a small child and they're that age where they just start to know how to run and get out of your line of vision. You cannot rest. I remember the time when you would lay them down and they would just be there when you came back. But then there comes a point to where you have to keep an eye on them. Maybe you have a child that you have to keep an eye on them. And I was thinking, that's how God is with us, is he's watching us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. His eyes are going to and fro. Does Kevin need help here? Does this person need help over here? Are they okay over there? And he's looking and he's taking, "Oh, there's danger. Let me give them a warning. Let the Spirit warn them. This is coming." He knows what's ahead of our path and he's looking out. And I was thinking, he's looking out over each of you tonight. Yes. He's looking out over us tonight. And he cares about us. His eyes are going to and fro. And I was thinking about, he's not going to let anything happen to me. Brother Michael was talking about, through his grace. That's how we're here today. That's why I'm standing up in front of you today, because of God's grace. Because when I look back over the past, I'm not a singer, but I was thinking about the song, "Where His Wide Arms of Mercy Held Me." There have been times when I look back over my life and I was like, "Oh Lord, I didn't realize I was in such danger. Oh, thank you for blessing me that I wasn't at that place, or I wasn't with those people, or I didn't get into that relationship." And I look back and I was thinking, that's because God is looking out over me saying, "Kevin, you know, he's steering me back, keeping me on the straight, stay in here." And I start leaning over here and he pushes me back over here. It's because his eyes are out looking over us and he's protecting us, he's guiding us, he's correcting us. And it says, you know, he loves us. He corrects us because he loves us. And that's because he's aware that there's something up ahead that I need to prepare you for. And I think about the things that I'm doing today is I'm another one of those preachers who I didn't want to be a preacher. But when I look over my life, I can see how God equipped me to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the most honorable thing you can do, is to be a servant of God and to be able to share the gospel. And I think about the different experiences I had through my life and I was like, okay, that was God watching out for me. I had this person who taught me these things, and this brother who taught me this thing, and this person who lived before me, and I had a mother who lived and taught me this way, and a grandmother. And I can think, okay, that's God.
Yes.
I don't believe in things coincidence. That was a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that there is a God looking out to and fro saying, oh, there's my servant Kevin. I'm going to need him to do some things for me in the future. I got to make sure he keeps himself clean, and I got to make sure he does these things right here, because there's some things coming up, because I've learned more and more to trust that he knows what's best for me.
Yeah.
Now, there's been times when I thought I knew what was best for me, but you know what? I don't have the ability to have my eyes running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Right? I don't have that ability. And he says he's not just doing this, but to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect. And I think about so many times how the Lord will come to our rescue, or he'll come to our defense, and I'll be thinking, Lord, how is this going to work out? And how is this going to work out? And the Lord will show up, and he'll show himself strong. Just recently in Tulsa, we were dealing with a situation, and it seemed day by day it got more and more tense. More and more tense. But you know what? When the day came, God worked everything out. It was just a beautiful situation. And I was so thankful that, Lord, you were looking out for us. We just had to submit it to him. And that's the thing that I've been learning to do, is to submit my life more and more to God. To submit more and more to him, because his eyes are truly out, and I have to trust that he knows better than Kevin knows. And so I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, that know that the Lord is looking out for you. He's looking over you. Maybe things, Lord, I didn't think it would go this way. Just be patient. Stay on God's path, and then you'll find out. As you go on, you'll learn and you'll understand, okay, God, that's why that thing happened or didn't happen. So no, and I want to share a few more scriptures with you to encourage you. The next one I have is in Psalm 34, verse 15 through 17. Psalm 34, verses 15 through 17. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And this is the thing when you think about it. And it says, and his ears are open unto their cry. And that's the thing with salvation. When we live for the Lord, heartaches may come. But you know, when I cry out to the Lord, he hears me. Disappointments will come, but I cry out to the Lord, and he'll hear me. Distresses come, and I cry out to the Lord, and he'll hear us. And I was just thinking about a situation a long time, several years ago. We were traveling, and our car broke down. And I just cried out to the Lord. I just cried out to the Lord because I was like, Lord, we need help. We need help right now. And all the things that God did to help us through that situation. There was someone close by who was able to come pick us up. We were able to find a hotel that we could stay in. And right across, just in almost in the same parking lot with the hotel, was a dealership. And they were able to fix our vehicle. And it was just right there. And we were trying to get home, and we were trying to find a minivan because we had our children and all of our stuff, and we were trying to get back, and we call one place and they would say, we have some cars. Did we have three or four? We had all four. We couldn't fit in a car to get back to Tulsa. Then we called one place and they said, we have a van. It's available. And this is the price. And I was just thinking about all the things that the Lord worked out. And to me, that's the benefits of salvation, because I can cry out to the Lord. You know what? God already knew. He already knew, and he set things in motion. He was watching out for us. My servant Kevin and his family, they're in distress. and they need some help. Yes. I'm going to show myself strong. And by the end of it, when we look back, it's like there's no way that all of those things could have happened without God. And that's the thing. The things and situations in our lives where we're like, I don't know how it's going to work out, we submit it to God. We cry out to Him. Yeah. Sometimes people look at crying out as a weakness. I look at it as one of my benefits of salvation. Yeah. That I can cry out to the Lord and He'll hear my cry. I think about Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He was in the water. Do you think Peter knew how to swim? Yes. He knew how to swim. But when he was sinking in those waves, what did he do? Did he turn and just try to swim back? He cried out to the Lord. And when he cried out to the Lord, what did Jesus do? He just immediately reached down his hand and lifted him out. And see, that's what I love about it is because we are God's people, because our hearts are perfect toward Him, because we're living righteously, when we're in distress and trouble, we can cry out to the Lord and immediately He can come to our rescue. And I think about, so in the tide of this world, the way the world deals with things, well, I need a drink, or I need a smoke, or I need a this, or I'm going to do this. Just cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. And I always like to share this when there's young people. When you're in school or doing whatever, I've had many tests, and I prayed that the Lord would bless me on those. And other situations in school where we have to deal with things, and you know what? God is ever present. He can be right there with you to help because He's watching over. And that's the thing. He can watch you in school. He can watch you through college. He can watch you at work. He's watching over us. No matter what situation we may be in, He is an ever-present God. And He's looking out over us. And He loves us. There's a scripture in, I believe it's in Zephaniah. I believe it's 4 and 17. It's not Zephaniah. Maybe it's Zechariah 4 and 17. It's not. Where is it? I'll think of it. It's 3 and 17. So it must be Zephaniah 3. And 17. It says, the Lord is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. And I was thinking about this. This is the illustration of God's character. About how He is both mighty and compassionate. And it says, The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. And I was thinking about how He loves us and His compassion, and He looks over us, and His song is a song of comfort. His song is a song of comfort. He came into this world because He knew that we were uncomfortable in our sin, and the only way we could be reconciled was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus left, He said, I will send a comforter. And if He sent a comforter, that means we need a comforter, right? That's what it means. Is if He sent the comforter, that means that we need a comforter. And I was thinking about how He has a song, and I know that excuse me, as you go through life, there's many kinds of distresses that will come. If you have children, if you have finances, if you have bills, if you own a car, if you have a job, if you know more than two people, you're going to have some type of distresses. But God came to help us through all those situations, because when He looks out, He sees and He speaks to us. He's like, don't respond that way, respond this way. Yes, Lord, I'll respond that way. Oh, Kevin is in a place where he's feeling this way, and he'll sin, and he'll send a song of comfort and peace or encouragement or whatever it is that you may need. So I want you to understand that The simplicity of the gospel of Jesus is that his love and his compassion is here. It's an active love. And when I think about his eye being on the sparrow and his eye watching over us, it's an active love. It's not a passive love where some people, oh, I love them, but there's no action to it. Or I have love for that person, but there's no, you don't see it, there's no evidence. That his evidence is he's looking out for us to display that he can show himself mighty and strong in our lives, that he can help us know that I'm watching over you. You don't have to be stressed out. And I know, and I don't want to talk about anybody badly, but you see people, it's like they're so stressed out, but they don't have to be. And then guess what? Sometimes me, I'll start getting stressed out, and then I'll say, Lord, I don't have to be, right? I don't have to be. I can cry out. I can look to the Lord. And the many times that I'm feeling stressed, you know why I'm feeling stressed? It's because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do in the situation. And I've been talking, that this has kind of been a little quest I've been on. And I'm like, I'm questioning myself. Is that a place of where I need to increase in faith? Do I need to increase in faith? Am I trying to figure out everything so I can know what my next move is? Or do I need to walk in faith? Do I need to walk in faith? I was talking to Sister Lowe about something. And I said, you know what? I want God to say A, B, C, D, E. That's what I want. And then as I was talking to her about it, I looked at her and I said, that's not faith, is it? That's not faith. If I want it all scripted out so I can read through the script to make sure I know everything that's happening next so I can be prepared for it. I said, that's not faith, is it? And she was like, I don't think so. I said, that's not faith. So I want to have a stronger faith that when I read these scriptures that, you know what? God is looking out for me. So that thing that's stressing me out, I'm feeling so much anxiety and stress about it, is I don't have to. Because if his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he's watching out for me. Kevin, right? I know he's watching out for me. I know he's looking out for me. I want you to turn, as I talk about this, to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. A very familiar passage of Scripture. Philippians 4. And 7. Well, I'm going to start up at 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And as I was reading that, I went over and looked into the Amplified version of the Bible, and it says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is yours. And I was thinking about it. That's the devil's end game, is to disturb our peace. If our peace is disturbed, then he's starting to gain a little ground. And if he could inch in a little worry, then a little bit of self, Kevin starts coming in and going, I got to figure this out. I have to know what I'm going to do. So this instruction says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about all these things that are going on. Jesus told the disciples, I know you need those things. Those things will be taken care of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And I believe that. So it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Lord, I'm going to cast my care on you. I'm going to bring this to you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be earnest in my prayer. And I'm going to come with thanksgiving, knowing that you know what's best for me. Because Someone was sharing with me, they said, God does answer. Yes, no, not yet. Right? And I have to understand that the answer is not always going to be yes. And then sometimes no is no, and sometimes no is not yet. Not yet. I can look back over my life and I was thinking, well, why didn't this happen sooner? And then as I got older, I looked and I was like, well, thank you, God, for sparing me and not answering or giving me the thing that I asked for, because I would have completely messed it up. And it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And I was thinking about it in the Amplified Version. It says, your specific requests known to God. And I was thinking about, I believe it might have been Brother Daryl one time in a message. He said, pray a specific prayer. Be very specific. If you know, it's like, Lord, this is where I am, and this is what my need is, and this is where I need you to help me. It's to ask God for it specifically, not, Lord, bless me soul, mind, and body. Sometimes we know that, Lord, I need you to bless me right here. I need more faith in this situation right here. That's what I need right here. Lord, this is what I need. Or, Lord, bless my children. No, Lord, bless Jackson. Jackson's in need right here. We need you to bless Jackson in this special way, that these things, to be very specific about what you're praying for. And you know what? God already knows. As we bring our petition to him, like Brother Michael said, he can move hearts. He can change minds. He can change people's situation and circumstances. And we can pray and ask the Lord. And so these things, as they start to get heavy on us, we can cast them on him. The last scripture I have is in 1 Peter, verse 5 and 6. And I apologize for my voice. I've been having some allergies and different things, but hopefully you can hear and the Lord will help us with this message. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I was thinking about that. Many times in our experiences, we have to learn to cast things on the Lord. And as I was growing up in the church, different times they would say, when you cast something, that means you throw it far away. Not a toss. It's the difference between a toss and a cast. A toss is just, it might be within arm's reach if you just toss it. But a cast means you're throwing something away. And if you cast it away, we shouldn't go back and try to pick it up. And many times I believe that's what I've done, and I believe others do it also. Is that we pray and we ask God for something, but I really didn't cast it. I tried to keep it within arm's reach so I could still work it out, or I have some ideas. I have some things that I think can work out. And I said, sometimes I have a plan A, but God has a plan B, and his plan B is better than my plan, right? I have my plan, but God has a better plan. He has a better plan, so I have to cast it on him. So it's casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I was thinking about, yes, Lord, you care for us. You care about us. You care about the things that happen to me whenever I am, because as I live a righteous life before God, his eyes are out and he's looking. He's guiding my path. He's clearing things out of my way. And it's not just a casual love that he has for us. He has a committed love for us. And I was thinking about, he's expressed his commitment to us over and over and over and over again. The Lord was dealing with me about something, and I submitted to him, and I said, you know what? God doesn't have to do not one more thing to prove himself to me. Yeah. He doesn't. He's already proved himself to me over and over and over and over again. I was like, God, you don't have to, I'm not praying so you can prove yourself to me. I'm not praying. I'm submitting this to you. I'm praying because I understand my dependence on you. You don't have to prove it to me. I know. I believe you. I've seen you work. I have evidence in my own life, lives around that I'm beyond God having to prove himself to me. I believe that when I read in the scripture that his eyes are going to and fro, I believe that. I believe that his eyes are out looking and he's preparing a way before us. And the thing about it is, what I'm trying to do is to learn to rest in that more and more. My unrest comes from me and my thoughts and my ideas. And what I'm trying to do is like, Lord, you have comfort, you have rest, you have peace. We read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? So if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie beside still waters. Then those still waters that he has for us, it's because he wants to have a place of rest. Rest from all the things that are out there that causes distress among people. And the thing about it I want us to understand is we have privileges. We have advantages as God's people. And one of the things, and we were singing that song about, we can testify, is maybe everybody can't be a preacher, everybody can't be a singer, but you can be a witness to what God has done in your life. And as we encounter our loved ones and they're in distress, we can let them know that this is what God has done for me. As one of God's people, these are one of the benefits. Is, you know what, I have the same problems you have, but you know what? I'm not stressed about it because God has blessed me and I know he'll bless me again. When you're talking to your loved ones and they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? Sometimes I get into those places where I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know what? I found that I can rest in Christ because God knows what's going to happen tomorrow and I can leave it in his hands. And Teresa and I are going through a devotional and it's something you read these scriptures and then when someone shares a thought with you, and I was a person, I was like, okay, well, tomorrow this is going to happen and I'm going to have a conversation and this is going to happen. And through that devotion, the Lord says, why don't you wake up in the morning and get dressed and then see what I'm going to do instead of trying to work out everything that's going to happen tomorrow. And I said, Lord, that's a place of victory for me that I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow with this person or this situation. The brother said he had a situation at work and the Lord worked it out for him. He didn't get up in the morning and said, this is my plan A and I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, because you know what? He didn't even know what was going to happen, but the Lord worked it out. So I want to encourage you tonight to know, whatever you're going through, whatever place you are in life, that there is a God that's looking out over us. And if you're one of his righteous people, if you're one of his sheep, whatever your problem is, just cry out to the Lord. And he can help. And I love what Brother Michael said. And immediately, he was right there. When he knew when Peter was coming and he cried out, he just reached out his hand. And that's how he is. And I was thinking about that when Jesus took him out and he got him to the water, he didn't fuss at him. He kind of chided him a little bit about having a little faith. But you know what? He loved Peter, and he knew Peter had great things ahead of him. And that's the other thing is, God has work for you to do. And so he's just not going to arbitrarily let you fall into peril. Right? He knew that there was work for Peter to be done. So he's not going to let Peter drown out there in that lake. It's like, come on, Peter, I have some things you're going to need to do. He didn't tell him all that. But the Lord has work for each of us to do. Young people, middle-aged people, older people, he has work for you to do. So you're just not going to arbitrarily perish. God has a plan for you. And so know that he's watching out over us. And his desire is that you are successful, not only in this life, but in eternal life. So understand that we don't have to have a terminal view of life. We can have eternal hope and view in life. Thank you for your time and attention. May God bless us all.